It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and light, drink blue and light. And try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, now available at beer retailers throughout the state of Pennsylvania. It is quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. And Dusty, we had the college football playoff semifinals on New Year's Day. A lot of interesting things came about with those two games. Number one, Justin Fields. Where has this guy been the last couple weeks? He was tremendous and actually had some people debating whether he or Trevor Lawrence should be the number one pick in the draft.
At his best, I thought Fields at least made that a conversation. You talk about tools and makeup and can do damage with his legs and all that. At his best, I think he's right there with Trevor Lawrence. That obviously is easier to say that now than it was a week or two ago, but we hadn't seen Justin Fields at his best for the final, what, 2 or 3 weeks of the regular season. You know, he was tentative and unsure and threw a couple bad interceptions. And, you know, they even hinted during the broadcast at him maybe not, you know, having such a high expectation for himself that when things started going south, he let it spiral a little bit because he was dwelling on that component. And that seemed to be a flip that was switched. And he looked big time in this game, Jim. All the best of Justin Fields we saw. And it was against a real a defense with NFL caliber guys all over the place. A really unbelievable performance. What, he finished with 6 touchdown passes. He can throw darts with, you know, decisiveness and really just do a lot of damage. You know, a couple of those passes in tight windows to tight ends in the end zone that he had to throw it on a dive, and he did it. So I think certainly he has an opportunity now, at the very least, to go out. And if he does something comparable against Alabama, then I think we've got a real conversation about who the best quarterback in America is, because Justin Fields took a big step towards, you know, putting his name in that conversation again.
He really did. Now, my take on it is I don't believe anyone with the number one pick, which is the Jacksonville Jaguars, that they're going to pass on Trevor Lawrence. His body of work over, what, the 3 years there, it will, I believe, just be too much. But you actually had a situation where Justin Fields was dropping. I think he was always considered a first-round pick, but he wasn't necessarily going to be the second quarterback taken, or maybe even the third. He was being dropped behind people like Zach Wilson from BYU and maybe even Trey Lance from North Dakota State in some people's eyes. I think at the very least, he solidified his status as the second quarterback. You know, that leads us, Dustin, to the next question with the playoffs. You have, surprise, surprise, Alabama, Clemson, and Ohio State, the absolute big three in college football. And it was even a little bit of a surprise that, you know, Alabama and Clemson may have been team one and 1A through the last couple of years, and Ohio State was the third team, but they've kind of knocked down that door. But it still is those three teams and the rest, isn't it?
I think that dynamic is becoming more and more prominent too. Who is close? You know, I think we've seen a number of teams jump into that fourth spot and do some good things on a 1 year basis. You know, Oklahoma is the closest thing to that group of three. And a lot of people seem to believe that Oklahoma, even with 2 losses, the way that they were rolling and playing, that they deserved a shot at the playoff, and maybe they would have fared a little bit better than Notre Dame did against Alabama. But that big three, I don't know whether I call it a problem for college football, but certainly with the way that they're going, there doesn't seem to be any slowing down. So whatever they're doing, it's a real rich get richer situation, and nobody seems to be close to cracking that three at all. You're going to have teams surge and fade and jump into that number four conversation, but are they real factors? And getting that fourth playoff spot, is it a real game changer for your program? I don't know that there's a lot of evidence that suggests that it is. I mean, Washington, what's Washington done since they made the college football playoff? Is Notre Dame closer to being a power that can actually contend with these teams? Not really. So I think it's one thing to you know, and Penn State's firmly in this conversation too. It's one thing to say, hey, you know, we're close. We can make that top four. But it's another thing to really be a competitor to those three teams. It's those three and everybody else. And Oklahoma is at the top of that everybody else.
They are. And Notre Dame, they got their ass kicked. They beat the spread barely, but they did not belong on the field with Alabama. Alabama was probably a 30 or 40 point better team than Notre Dame was, and I'm not sure why Brian Kelly was upset with the narrative that was being put forth to him by the media after the game. It leads to the question, Dustin. First of all, you brought it up. Is there the fact that there is a big three and everyone else, is that a problem in college football?
It's something, I mean, real competitive balance needs to be addressed. And I think it's one thing, you know, if you're Duke basketball or North Carolina basketball or Gonzaga or, you know, teams like that in college basketball, where you're one of 68 to get the opportunity. But if you've got a big three, and there's only four opportunities to compete for a national championship, then I do think that that's problematic for college football to try to solve. It's not on Alabama or Clemson or Ohio State. It's not on them to do anything. They've done everything right. It's not their fault that they're basically pro programs amongst a sea of college programs. They've done things. I mean, they're just at a whole different level, and it's not their responsibility to let college football catch up with them. But I don't know whether it's the system or whether it's too few teams in the playoff or not giving the group of five really a fair shake. Maybe it's all these things, but it's something that college football really needs to take a closer look at. And I don't really even know what any solution might look like. You know, technically everybody's got the same opportunity, but at the same time, five-star kids are going to five-star programs and there's only three of them. And that trend isn't going anywhere anytime soon. With the way things are going, I don't think Dabo Sweeney's going anywhere, or Nick Saban. Ryan Day looks to be in it for the long haul at Ohio State, but then again, he took over for Urban Meyer and kept doing the same thing. So I don't know what's the solution other than just pointing out that there's a real competitive imbalance here.
My only thought on the solution, Dustin, or the best I could come up with, is expand the playoffs from 4 to 8. I know people will say, gee, Alabama crushed a number four Notre Dame. What would they do to a number eight seed? But what could happen is, you mentioned Washington earlier. I think they snuck in as that number four seed a few years ago. But other than that, you're not getting teams from the West Coast even into the playoffs. So you're now getting five-star kids from the state of Washington who are actually going to Ohio State because they're not seeing any team on the West Coast even make it to the playoffs. That is, in my opinion. And you can't see any group of five team ever making it to the playoffs, where in another year, a Cincinnati, if it were eight teams, they could have made it to the playoffs, and maybe they would start to become attractive. And the last note on that, Dustin, is you were talking college basketball, and you mentioned Gonzaga as if they're one of the blue bloods, one of the haves, not one of the have-nots. But how the heck did a Gonzaga become a have, you know? But partly it's because they started to make tournaments and they started to get recognized and more players went there. Do you think that would happen if it were an 18 playoff in college football?
Well, I mean, you'd be closer to that. I think the idea of having a real opportunity to compete for a national championship doesn't really exist outside of those three programs. And I think going from 4-8 maybe improves that outlook a little bit. If you know there's a really, really good chance that a second team from the Big Ten is going to get a college football playoff opportunity, then I think you have some of these five stars looking at a Penn State or looking at a Michigan a little bit different. But if you know, really it's just Ohio State or bust. I mean, I think just the idea of competing for a national title doesn't really exist outside of those three schools. So,
and
what are you supposed to do? I think expanding to 8 maybe is a step in the right direction. I've always been in favor of that, full disclosure, but I think to offer other programs hope that they'll get that chance, can maybe start to change the recruiting dynamics a little bit and actually maybe give those 4-8 teams an actual shot to beat an Alabama.
And the example for Penn State is a few years ago when they won the Big Ten championship and didn't go to the playoffs, Ohio State still did. If you had said the winner of this conference gets an automatic bid, all of a sudden that Pac-12 championship game, the Big 12 championship game, they mean so much more if there's a playoff spot on the line. And who knows if that kind of thing can help a team recruiting the next year because, hey, we were a playoff team last year. All right, let's get back to the actual playoffs. It is going to be Alabama and Ohio State. Can Ohio State play with Alabama, Dustin?
Well, I think what you saw against Clemson is an Ohio State offensive line that played at a really high level, and you saw Ohio State's defensive line play at a really high level. Obviously, they've got weapons. Trey Sermon is playing his best of the year. Justin Fields played probably his best game of the year against Clemson. They've got the wideouts. I think they've got the pieces here, Jim, that they can actually be a team that beats Alabama. I haven't seen the point spread. Have you?
I thought I saw somewhere that it was 7 or 8 points.
Okay. I don't see any reason why Ohio State can't compete with Alabama. Alabama's got a better team, I think. But the way Ohio State's playing, I mean, this is no gimme for Alabama. This is a team that can go out and win this game. I feel confident in saying that. Ask Bob Flanders, I'm sure, later this week. He'll feel confident in saying that, too.
Yeah, Bob Flanders definitely indicated to me he was very high on this Ohio State team. And I did a quick look up on our DraftKings app. It is 7.5 points right now that Alabama is favored. I'll be honest, at 7.5 points, I think I like Ohio State.
Oh, I'll take that action at 7.5. I'm sure. I mean, it's going to be 6.5 or 7.5 come kickoff time. You're going to have to make that decision whether they're going to stay within a touchdown or not. And I think they're going to.
I do too. I saw enough with that game against Clemson. Alabama was not really tested against Notre Dame. Ohio State, they were playing another member of the Big Three, and they were most definitively the better team. All right, Dustin, that's it on the playoffs, but we're going to kind of continue this conversation next segment. The question is going to be, how far away is Penn State to making it to one of these playoff positions? Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. If you're a fan of our Keystone Kickoff Show and you don't want to miss any of our analysis and review of the Penn State football team, there are plenty of ways to make sure you don't miss a single segment of our show. The best way to hear everything that Dustin, Greg, Ross, Bob, and Andy have to say is to download our app, Keystone Sports, from your app store. You can also find us on Spotify, the Apple Store, Google Play, and KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. We are the place for Penn State football analysis.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.